Good morning, board members, Lahontan staff, and the public. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. My name is Rob Pierce, and I am the acting chair. Today's board meeting is being conducted in person from Barstow, and via Zoom, AGP Video is hosting our board meeting. At this time, I would like to introduce the other board members of the regional board. Jeff Lux to my left.
Good morning.
Kimberly Cox.
Good morning.
And Rick Deaver.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
That's close enough. Thank you. We have a quorum physically present in the Barstow for today's meeting. Welcome, everyone. Our executive board staff are here today in Barstow, including our executive officer, Ben Letton, our assistant executive officer, Jan Zimmerman, our legal counsel, Elizabeth Barrett, and our board clerk, Ariel LaFarga. We'll also be joined by other staff members for individual agenda items. For those who are present and wish to speak on an agenda item, please fill out the orange card in the back of the room and hand the card to Ariel LaFarga. In addition, we are receiving presentations and public comment through the Zoom meeting platform. If you intend to present or comment via Zoom, you should have submitted a virtual speaker card to our board clerk, Ariel LaFarga, and be in the Zoom meeting room. If you think you might be interested in commenting via Zoom, please contact our board clerk at ariel.lafarga@waterboards.ca.gov. For those joining us via Zoom, your camera will be turned off and you will be muted until it is your turn to speak. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute again. This meeting is being webcast and recorded, so please speak clearly. With that, we will go to our first item. And our item one is public forum. Any person may address the water board regarding a matter with the water board's jurisdiction that is not related to an item on the board agenda or currently pending before the water board. Do we have speaker cards?
We do. Lauren Pitts.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Lauren Pitts. I live at 245.
Yeah, turn it on.
Thought I did. Sorry.
No worries.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Lauren Pitts. I live at 2445 Community Boulevard in Hinckley. This is my third time being here. As Ben, Jan, John knows, it's over nitrates. We've been fighting this battle since 2010. I have talked to Ben and Jan and John numerous times. We've had meetings and all this stuff. Now we're right back to ground zero, and this is 16 years. I work for the government. This is not cool. It's ridiculous. We're going to start this all over again, and it's going to be another 10 or 15 years. We've had Hinckley Dairy presumed as the contributor. And now we're saying that they're probably not, or they may not be, or they may not be the only one. But my water's contaminated. It's poison. I can't have my kids over with my grandkids. I can't use my pool. I can't drink my water. I get bottled water. Bottled water's nothing. If I came to your house and tied into your water with a septic tank truck with just water in it and just put a little bit in there each time, would you guys be happy to take a shower or a bath and pee and poop? Anybody? No. That's what I go through. That's what my neighbors are going through. We have come to the board numerous times. Ben, we had that meeting last year. And what were your words to me? Is they're going to do it one way or the hard way, correct? That's what was said. And now we've stopped and now we're going a different direction. I'm frustrated, I'm irritated, I'm really PO'd. I'm not going to say what I really feel, because I'll probably get thrown out. But I come to you guys all the way around and ask, what do I do? What else is left? I get told, trust us. I trust and I trust and I trust. I've lived in this house for 11 years. My neighbors lived there for, I don't know how many years now, at least 2010, so it's 16 years. if we're going to start this all over again, we're going to be 25 years, almost 30 years into a problem that I feel that we can fix, but nobody wants to take the initiative to do it. You guys as a board, you guys are going to have to do something soon. It is. It's ridiculous. It really is. Like I said, would you like to swim, take a shower, bathe, anything, and pee and poop? I don't. I can't have my grandkids over to do anything and enjoy time with them. I have to go to their house. Is that the time? Okay. All right. So I appreciate you guys. I'm looking at you guys for help. Hopefully you guys can help me because it's, you know, I don't want to start this all over again.
Could I ask you just a question before you sit down? What is your solution from just your perspective?
To have the dairies put in a water treatment system. Evidently, we were at that point, and as whenever we had these meetings, I've explained to them what the dairies thing was. They were going to drag their feet until they got to a point of they got a lawyer or whatever, and now they're going to just not want to do it. I'm not saying let them off the hook, but I want clean water. I deserve that. I've been in this for 11 years, you know, and it's old. It's rough on my family. Like I said, I can't have my grandkids over. They can't drink the water out of the faucet, you know. How many of us drink water out of the hoses whenever you're outside playing and everything? I have 10 acres. They go out and play, but they can't drink water out of the hose out back because I can't let them drink it.
Thank you.
Brent Querforth.
Does this operate on a button?
It's on.
My name is Brent Querforth. My address is 24661 Community Boulevard, 24615 Community Boulevard, and two other parcels without addresses. And I've been there since 2001. Was made aware of the situation when Lisa Dernbach was employed with Lahontan and informing me that the nitrates are worse than the chromium-6. And there's no meetings dedicated to the nitrates like there are for the chromium-6, which PG&E is dealing with. And as my neighbor Lauren Pitts said, that last year, the meeting that we were invited to in the Victorville office, when Ben was present, and Jan Zimmerman and a few others, we were promised filtration systems on our wellheads, something of quality, nothing cheap, and that all went away, just like a light switch switched off. And I'm not bright enough to understand why, or I never was told why. And also, a meeting, local meeting in Hinckley, the 29th of January of this year, I was very frustrated at that meeting, and in the result of my frustrations, Jan Zimmerman threatened me with, if I ever disrespect her again, I'll be removed from the meeting. Well, I don't know how to say what, even nicely and be disrespectful or hurt feelings to the people in charge. We're being ignored. And by the Lahontan Water Board personnel in charge, and I say it's misleading, if not blatant lies to us, I've been told by Ben Letton to be patient for a long time. Be patient. Jan Zimmerman tells me, trust us. Do not trust the dairy. Do not listen to the dairy. They cannot be trusted. Trust us. And I look at it, my opinion, that is just to get me off their back so they can channel this in the direction that they want it to go, which is keeping me and my neighbor and his family and others from knowing what's really going on behind the scenes. And 5 minutes will barely scratch the surface of what's going on here. And you guys there, I believe, are their Ben's boss and Jan's boss and on down. And when I was here, I think it was April of 24, my first time. This is my second time. This was going to be handled. And I believe Ben, through the chain of command, because Mike was, which is another story, was sick. I believe Ben issued instructions to his lower personnel to deal with this, and it wasn't until my neighbor brought it to Ben's attention, and then something started getting done. And in closing, on that meeting last the 29th of February, or January, excuse me, of this year, Jan Zimmerman brought it to Lauren's and my attention that we only brought this to the Hot and Water Board's attention in 24, which I believe that's 2024. That is a major lie. Now, that's how I interpreted what she said. And this is, in my opinion, it has the actions of a cover-up. And at my expense and Lauren Pitts's expense, and we pay taxes and we have, I think, our rights and my rights to speak are being violated. Now, that's about as nice as I can put it. And I'm open for any questions.
You have some?
Not direct questions.
Okay. I think we're done.
Okay.
Yep.
In closing,
yep.
If I may, since I was here last, what has this board done about the problem that was made aware of them to them?
You know, we've been updated on the process that you guys are going through. I think, to be honest with you, I know some of those staff members that you're upset with. I believe they're working in good faith. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on between the staff and the dairy that have to be worked out. And I know it's got to be hugely frustrating for you people. I have no doubt about that.
Okay.
But I believe, I don't think it's dead in the water. I think there's work going on. I have faith in Ben and Jan that they will get something done.
If I was 30 years old, I wouldn't be worried about time. I don't have another 5, 10, 15 years.
Join the crowd.
And this is something that hasn't been brought up or no answer to my questions for many years. Why hasn't Hinckley Dairy been fined or penalized for being out of compliance many, 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 many times? Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
If that's not enough, nothing's going to work.
Acting Chair, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I think that this conversation, we should bring it back to the board, perhaps, in an informational item at a future board meeting where the Hinckley Dairy can also be present as the discharger. There has been a lot of work that's gone on since April 2024, and it's probably not at the pace that Mr. Corforth and Mr. Pitts would like, but we have been making slow progress, including discussions with the dairy. But I think it would be fruitful to bring it back to the board at a future board meeting where Lauren and Brent get to provide their perspective. We can hear from the dairy. You can get further update on, you know, work that we've been doing, and we can maybe start to unpack some, you know, strategies moving forward.
Sounds perfect.
Okay.
We have no other public.
With that, we'll move on to item two, the board meeting minutes. The Water Board will consider adopting the minutes of the regular meeting of November 5th, 2025. Are there any motions?
I'll move approval.
There's a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Item three is the reports by the Water Board. Vote. Yep. Jeff?
Aye.
I vote aye.
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 There we go. Okay, we'll move on to the reports by the Water Board. Water Board members will provide updates to the Water Board and public events, public on events and activities of interest. First, we'll hear from Board Member Morgan. Is she here? She's on Zoom.
Good afternoon. Happy to be able to join you virtually. Apologize I was not able to be there in person. Was really hoping that I was able to make the trip this time.
There she is.
Let's see. What is all happening through the state? So a few things. So each year, the state board, we have a discussion on our annual priorities. And so on February 3rd, we held this discussion. It was a little bit different than normal. So this year, what we did, we talked about how to revise our plan. So we have basically a priority plan that we put forth. And so we talked about that along with our strategic work plan. What ends up happening is this document ends up being in the teens. It ends up being a pretty big plan, a lot of information in there. And we don't include what is our core workload. And so we really talked about how can we revise this plan, include the core workload, but include that as an appendix, and really shorten down what is the Guard Board staff working on as priority projects. So it really speaks more to the public and really lets everyone know what our focus is I'm going to call it a priority project. And so that you can see, here's the work that we're doing above our core workload each year. And then if you want to dive more into the ongoing core workload and how that is going, you can look further down into the appendix. So we're looking at making that to be more for us internally and externally, a more usable document. Let's see here. So speaking to the Sacramento Delta update to the Bay Delta plan, on January 28th, 29th, and 30th, the State Guard Board held a public hearing. So it's a three-day hearing we held in Sacramento to receive comments on the December 2025 revised draft updates and on Chapter 13 of the draft staff report. So written comments were due at the beginning of this month on February 2nd. So staff have taken in all those comments on both the written that were received and as well as those that were received orally during the hearing. They're going to be preparing a final draft report of the plan and of their staff report. Both of those will be available for public review and comment before staff bring them back for consideration by adoption by the State Water Board at a future board meeting. So another item that the State Water Board staff have been working on is the Clean Water Act Section 303D list portion of the 2026 California Integrated Report. Mahontan was included in this year's cycle. And so on February 3rd, the State Water Board did adopt the updated 303D list. More information can be found on the State Water Board's program webpage. So last year, on January 22nd, the State Water Board adopted a policy for standardization of the cost reporting and municipal stormwater permits. So staff are developing an online reporting portal for permittees, and so something's standardized so that everything can be uploaded online. That portal is going to be launched this month. Staff also prepared a guidance document to go along with the reporting portal. So let's see here. Changing topics, the California Environmental Protection Agency, Cal EPA, Vapor Intrusion Work Group will be hosting 5 virtual public workshops in the first half of 2026 to share and gain input on CalEPA's efforts to address vapor intrusion at contaminated sites. The first 2 workshops of the series will be held on February 12th and February 25th. The first one, Vapor Intrusion Cleanup Core Basics Training, will be held basically tomorrow on the 12th from 10 to noon. The second one, Vapor Intrusion and the Community, will be held on February 25th. from 1 to 3:30. These workshops are virtual workshops that be held via Zoom. You do need to register prior to the workshops, and information is on the State Water Board's vapor intrusion webpage. So last but not least, the Delta Conveyance Project. On February 9th, our administrative hearing office released the 10th amended hearing notice for the Delta Conveyance Project hearings. The petitioner's rebuttal portion of the public hearing will begin on February 20th. And so I believe that is, yes, so the end of next week, for next Friday, and continue on February 23rd, 24th, 25th, and into March. So that concludes the report for this month. As always, many different things happening, and I'm here if there are any questions.
Thank you, Morgan. Board Member Jeff, do you have any questions?
Just one. Thanks very much for that. My question is on the Clean Water Act 303D listing. You said Lahontan was part of that. Give me a little more detail on sort of when that process, you know, is intended to come to fruition. Are there likely to be some changes on that list, some additions, subtractions? Give me a little sense of what it means for Lahontan.
Yes, of course. And so this is a multi-year process. It began, I want to say, about 3-4 years ago, where data, they open it up for data to be submitted. Data is submitted. They go through, staff go through all of that data. They see, water bodies need to be added to the list, or are there water bodies that need to be taken off the list due to, change in data. The data no longer supports the water body being listed as impaired. And so that's ongoing. Last year, their staff started the process of public workshops, going through, speaking throughout the, so that's State Water Board staff, but throughout the process, State Water Board staff is working with Lahontan staff on the list and making sure that that communication is ongoing. And then this year is the end of the list where the list is basically finalized. So State Board adopted the final list, which will be sent over to US EPA to be added into their database, well, to be for their approval and then to be added into their database. And so there are both additions and subtractions to the list. I apologize, I do not have the exact number. It's in front of me for Lahontan. And so it is basically, it's a 3-year cycle unless there are specific water bodies or specific concerns that where Lahontan can then ask to go out of cycle for a specific area or a specific water body to be considered out of cycle for various reasons.
Thanks.
Board Member Cox, you have any questions?
No questions, but so good to have you join us this afternoon, Nicole.
Rick, do you have any questions?
No questions.
And I have no questions either. Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you all.
Board Chair, can I make a comment or a suggestion? We could, Board Member Lux, provide a short EO article or some other type of update with the specific 303 additions and subtractions with the water body name and all that, you know, level of detail, if you'd like.
That would be cool.
That'd be very helpful.
Okay.
Let's move on to board member reports or updates. Jeff, do you have anything?
No, I don't. Thanks.
Kimberly?
Nothing. Thank you.
Rick?
No.
And I have nothing either. Okay. Item 4, revised waste discharge requirements for Mojave Roseman Class 3 landfill. Next, we turn to item 4, revised waste discharge requirements for the Mojave Roseman Class 3 landfill, Kern County. The Water Board will hold a public hearing to receive public comment and to consider adopting the revised waste discharge requirements for the Mojave Roseman Class 3 landfill, Kern County. The hearing will begin with a presentation from Water Board staff. Next, we will hear comments from the public. All people who wish to comment in this hearing remotely should already be in the Zoom meeting. If you have not registered or submitted with an orange speaker card, you are requested to do so now. All people who expect to testify, please stand and raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. When it is your turn to speak, please state your name and affiliation and whether you have taken the oath before testifying. We need a staff presentation.
Good afternoon, board members and members of the public. My name is Tiara Crucius, and I'm an engineering geologist in our Victorville office. I am here to discuss the new corrective action program and revised waste discharge requirements for the Kern County Public Works Department, Mojave Rosamond Class 3 Recycling and Sanitary Landfill in Kern County. The revision to the waste discharge requirements will include an update to the monitoring and reporting program, proposing to establish requirements for construction of Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C expansion, a corrective action program for a release to groundwater, an engineered alternative liner system for Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C, and to provide general updates based on current site conditions. Next slide. Here is a list of topics that I will be covering, the facility location and history, a release to groundwater, the proposed corrective action program, the Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C expansion, an engineered alternative liner system, and our recommendation. Here is the general vicinity of the Mojave Rosamond Landfill. It is located in the western portion of the Mojave Desert on Silver Queen Road, approximately 4 miles southeast of the unincorporated community of Mojave, 9 miles northeast of the unincorporated community of Rosamond, and about 1 mile east from State Route 14 in Kern County. Next slide. Here is a summarized timeline of notable events at this landfill. Waste discharge requirements were issued in 1972, and Phase 1, an unlined landfill cell, began receiving waste in 1973. Groundwater monitoring was initiated in 1989. In 1996, a release of volatile organic compounds was identified and an evaluation monitoring program was implemented. In 1997, one evaluation monitoring program well was installed down gradient of the landfill Phase 1. In 2003, a landfill gas feasibility study was conducted to assess the possible impact of landfill gas on the groundwater. During the investigation, headspace samples were collected from groundwater monitoring wells and lice emitters. In 2007, the Water Board issued revised waste discharge requirements that required the discharger to update the evaluation monitoring program. In 2010, Mojave Rosamond evaluated the extent of landfill gas contribution of volatile organic compounds to groundwater and modeled the migration of the impacted groundwater. In 2012, the evaluation monitoring program was updated and a corrective action program was developed and implemented. In 2025, the discharger submitted a design plan for the proposed construction of Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C. Next slide. Here is a summary of the nature and extent of the release at the landfill. The groundwater is impacted primarily by volatile organic compounds, tetrachloroethene, also known as PCE, which is the plume map shown on the current slide, and dichlorodifluoromethane, also known as Freon 12, which is the plume map that we'll show on the next slide, both at Phase 1. In the figure for PCE, the purple, green, yellow, and orange lines show the down gradient extent of the impacted groundwater that extends approximately 500 feet north of the waste management unit. The concentration limits decrease as shown in the figure, with the purple line indicating higher concentrations near the center of the landfill and the orange line indicating lower concentrations near the most down gradient wells as shown on the red dots. The highest detected concentration of PCE was 0.7 micrograms per liter and has generally not exceeded the 0.5 micrograms per liter concentration since October 1989. Previous investigations have indicated that the release is from landfill gas migration. The blue dot is the location of the background well, and the green dot is the location of the compliance well. Next slide. This slide includes the plume map for dichloral difluoromethane, also known as Freon 12. In this figure, similar to the other one, the purple, green, and orange lines show the downgradient extent of the impacted groundwater, which also extends 500 feet north of the waste management unit. The concentration limits decrease as shown in the figure, with the purple line indicating higher concentrations near the center of the landfill, and the orange lines showing lower concentrations near the most downgradient wells indicated by the red dots on the figure. The highest detected concentration of Freon 12 was 2 micrograms per liter and has not exceeded that concentration since October 1989. The blue dot is the location of the background well, and the green dots are the location of the compliance wells. Next slide. Kern County Public Works Department has proposed a corrective action program that was developed in 2012. It consists of monitored natural attenuation, drainage controls, and diversion programs. The discharger has been implementing the corrective action program since 2012, and since that implementation, concentrations of volatile organic compounds have decreased. Monitored natural attenuation allows natural processes to degrade contaminants in the unsaturated zone and groundwater, which include biological degradation and natural dilution. The Mojave-Rosamond landfill includes drainage berms, ditches, and sumps that are designed to minimize erosion, ponding, and infiltration in applicable areas. Existing drainage controls have been and will likely continue to be an effective remedial option technique to prevent stormwater infiltration and minimize the potential for leachate production. The Mojave-Rosamond landfill includes an area dedicated to the diversion of recyclable materials, including green waste. These items are collected and stockpiled in designated areas, generally within secondary containment and recycled offsite. The existing diversion program will continue to be an effective remedial option to reduce the volume and waste in the landfill, therefore reducing the leachate. The Mojave-Rosamond landfill includes an area, Mojave-Rosamond landfill has installed 2 corrective action program wells for groundwater monitoring just north of phase one, as seen on the attached satellite image, the red dots. The 2 monitoring wells were installed and have been used to monitor volatile organic compound concentrations and delineate plume extent in order to evaluate contaminant migration, assess potential risk, and support the effectiveness of remedial actions. The corrective action program, consisting of monitored natural attenuation, drainage control, and diversion programs, is required until beneficial uses are restored to remediate the release from the landfill. Next slide. Here is the proposed phase 2A, 2B, and 2C expansion. The proposed expansion is 1 mile north of existing phase one, with construction expected to begin early 2026. Unlike the unlined cell phase one, phase 2A, 2B, and 2C will have a composite liner system and leachate collection and removal system constructed in accordance with California Code of Regulations Title 27. Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C has an approximate waste acceptance life of 25 years, with the waste footprint increasing from 27 acres to 82.9 acres. Mojave-Rosamond Class 3 is planned to become one of the regional landfills. In the snippet above on this slide, the red outline shows phases 2A, 2B, and 2C, and the area outlined in blue shows all future phases. Phase two and future phases are expected to provide enough disposal capacity to operate for approximately 108 years. Landfills in Eastern Kern, such as Tehachapi, Boron, and Ridgecrest, are planned to reach capacity in approximately 20 to 25 years, with the intent to close them during that time and begin routing customers to the Mojave Rosamond landfill. Next slide. California Code of Regulations Title 27 includes prescriptive standards for waste management unit construction and allows for engineered alternatives to such standards. The discharger must demonstrate that construction or prescriptive standard is not feasible and that the engineered alternative is consistent with the performance goal of the prescriptive standard and affords equivalent protection against water quality impairment. The discharger submitted an alternative liner proposal on the design plan and in accordance with California Code of Regulations Title 27. Here is the engineered liner system proposed for the Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C landfill expansion cell construction. The liner system to be constructed from bottom up, with the prepared subgrade on the bottom, the 40 mil high density polyethylene overlying the subgrade, then the geosynthetic clay liner, a 60 mil high-density polyethylene geomembrane, the drainage geocomposite, and a protective soil cover. The drainage geocomposite is an alternative to the leachate collection removal system design rather than the prescriptive drainage gravel. The high-density polyethylene drainage geocomposite that allows leakage to the leachate collection removal system is sandwiched between two non-woven geotextile layers. The drainage layer and lateral pipes will both collect and convey the accumulated leachate. The phase 2A, 2B, and 2C sump will be equipped with a pan lysimeter to monitor for potential leaks. Next slide. Water Board staff recommend the adoption of the revised waste discharge requirements and corrective action at the Mojave Rosamond Recycling and Sanitary Landfill that will establish requirements for the proposed construction of Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C, the proposed corrective action program, the proposed engineered alternative liner system for Phase 2A, 2B, and 2C. Next slide. That concludes the presentation. Thank you. I'll now turn it back to Acting Chair Pierce.
Thank you, Tara. Do we have any public comment?
No.
You said no? Okay, then we'll just go to questions. Board Member Deff.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I've just got two, both I think pretty easy. On slide 8 and in the report, you mentioned the beneficial uses that the proposed corrective action program for the Freon 12 and PCE are supposed to get us to. What are those beneficial uses for the groundwater?
I'll have to look at the board order, and then I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
It's in that board order.
Just kind of curious, because we're not talking drinking water here. I mean, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm just curious as to what...
groundwater quality, yes.
Yeah. And then the next slide, actually, slide 9. I'm just curious because I don't perhaps understand how landfill expansions completely work, but they jumped a mile north from where they're working today. And there's a whole bunch of land in between, presumably they own and will be future phases. Why would they do that? Do you know why you would jump and start at the other end?
The Mojave landfill is planned to become their regional landfill. So, yeah, they'll start, like, 1 mile north at the top, mm-hmm. and then they'll expand all the way down into the rest of that empty land eventually.
Rather than going from the existing outward, do you know why they would go north to south instead of south? It's more curiosity. I don't think it has too much impact on that.
I mean, I could ask them and reach out to them, but
it's okay.
Maybe it could potentially be because of the current release to the groundwater at the site.
Right. That was what I was wondering. Anyway, thanks. No, you don't need to reach out. It's okay. Just curiosity on my part.
We both got it. Board Member Lux, we have the permit in front of us and the beneficial uses you were curious about.
Yeah.
You were asking about groundwater or surface water? Groundwater, correct?
Well, actually, I'd be curious on both.
So groundwater, we have Mune agricultural supply, industrial service, and freshwater replenishment. For beneficial uses of the minor surface waters of the Chaffee hydrological area, we have, again, MUN, agricultural supply, groundwater recharge, water contact recreation, non-contact water recreation, commercial and sport fishing, warm freshwater habitat, cold water habitat, and wildlife habitat. And that's on Bates Stamp 422 and 423.
Thank you so much.
Are you through?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Board Member Cox, do you have questions?
Thank you. Just to just for perspective, what is the size in acres of the expansion area?
For the 200 or
2A,
for phase 2A, 2B, and 2C?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that one, the waste footprint, it was from 40 acres to 82.9 acres, but ultimately for phase 2 and phase 1, it'll be increasing from the 27 acres to 253 acres. That's for phase 1 and
wow.
phase 2.
Okay. And then is there no requirement for any kind of a system to collect the methane gas from this?
They do have that requirement, but I believe that's under Cal Recycle.
Okay, thank you.
Board Member Deaver.
Great presentation. I just have one question. When will phase one be finished and not being used anymore and move on to 2A?
That one I believe they mentioned was by 2028.
2028.
They'll start the closure process for phase one.
Right, thank you.
Yeah.
And I have no questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll close the hearing. Do we need to have any discussion, or can we go to the board or the vote? Good.
Comfortable.
Okay. Do we have a motion to?
I'll move the staff recommendation.
Yep.
I'll second that.
Yep. It's been moved and seconded. We need a vote. Board Member Jeff.
Aye.
Board Member Cox.
Aye.
Board Member Devers?
Aye.
And aye. And with that, we'll move on to item 5, the Executive Officer Report. And we'll call Ben up.
Good afternoon, members of the board, the public, and staff. My name is Ben Letton. I'm the executive officer, and I will be presenting to you item 5, the executive officer's report. To get started, I'd like to welcome a special guest, someone who we've not seen for a little while, but is not new to the Lahontan Water Board. In fact, this individual served on the regional board for almost 20 years, starting in 2005. I'd like to welcome Keith Dias, who is in attendance today at our board meeting. Keith, do you mind coming up here for a minute? So we have a tradition here at the Lahontan Water Board to recognize exceptional service of our board members with a resolution, which I have. Oops. Which I have right here. And I'd like Jan to start us off by reading a copy of the resolution.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Jan.
Okay. In recognition of Keith Dias's exceptional service on the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. Whereas Keith Dias is a veteran civil and environmental engineer residing in Rosamond, California, with a career spanning over 3 decades in public service and the private sector. Whereas Keith Dias was appointed to the Lahontan Water Board in 2005. During his 19-year tenure on the Lahontan Water Board, he demonstrated a commitment to listen to public concerns. He inspired board staff to present superior technical and legal items before the board, and advocated for board actions that will continue to benefit water quality and human health. Keith is particularly known for his kindness, thoughtfulness, and keen insight. Whereas Keith Dias understood the complexities of protecting closed basin groundwater aquifers and surface waters in the arid portions of the Lahontan regions from sources of contamination. He was particularly passionate about groundwater protection in the Antelope Valley and along the Mojave River, and provided great technical insight and leadership for a multitude of complex cleanup sites throughout the region. Whereas Keith understood the challenge for small or disadvantaged dischargers to comply with the Water Board regulations, yet he recognized the need for compliance to protect water, our most precious resource. As a result, Keith encouraged Water Board staff to work with dischargers to find a reasonable path forward to achieve water quality protection. Improvements to wastewater treatment plant operation and disposal practices, especially in the southern Lahontan region, resulted from his strong leadership, practical approach, and deep desire to protect groundwater for current and future generations. Whereas Keith Dias played a prominent role in a board action that benefited the town of Rosamond and the Rosamond Community Services District. The adoption of Board Order R6V 2019 and revised waste discharge requirements opened the door for implementation of a very remarkable and successful project using a revolutionary approach to wastewater recovery. It was a success story of converting what had been nuisance wastewater into a valuable new water source for a thirsty desert town. Whereas Keith Dias' technical insight and probing questions helped guide the board's decision to impose a $4.75 million administrative civil liability against the Los Angeles County Sanitation District for wastewater discharges causing nitrate pollution of groundwater approximately 2.5 square miles of the Antelope Valley groundwater basin, and against District Number 14 for nuisance conditions at Rosamond Lake, potentially affecting operations at Edwards Air Force Base. The settlement dedicating $4.55 million to the Antelope Valley Recycle Water Project to construct a portion of the recycled water distribution system serving northern Los Angeles County. Still going. Whereas in October 2011, Keith Dias voted to approve and issue a precedent-setting cleanup and abatement order, which required Pacific Gas and Electric Company to provide whole house replacement water for residents of Hinckley, California, whose domestic wells showed levels of hexavalent chromium above public health goals. Keith's knowledge of regional water quality challenges and their impact on beneficial uses and public health were instrumental in the successful deliberation of the board to ensure Pacific Gas and Electric Company developed and implemented a comprehensive groundwater cleanup strategy for the hexavalent chromium pollution in Hinckley. Whereas Keith Dias was passionate about groundwater sustainability, supported groundwater recharge projects, and was a voice of reason when the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act was adopted in 2014. He was an advocate for salt and nutrient management planning, particularly in Antelope Valley, and valued the collaborative planning process through the Antelope Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Group and the Fremont Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Group. Whereas Keith always provided thoughtful questions, comments, and insights. His gentle accolades and compliments to technical staff, whether it was their first board presentation or they were seasoned veterans, always came just at the right time during a board proceeding. Keith had a keen sense of when to jump in with additional insight and questions to ensure that staff recommendations for permitting actions or board direction were appropriate, well-balanced, and the right approach for protection of water quality. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Lahontan Water Board extends its appreciation for Keith Dias' true dedication to protect the waters of the United States and the waters of the state, as well as the health of our citizens throughout this most beautiful of regions. And be it further resolved that the Lahontan Water Board wishes for health, happiness, and fulfillment to Keith Dias and appreciates his many contributions to the region, its communities, and to the Lahontan team.
Congratulations. Thank you so much, Keith. We really appreciate your service. We appreciate you. Would you like to say anything?
Certainly. Okay. Thank you all for this beautifully worded resolution. I really appreciate it, and nobody could have read it better than you, Jan. And even though it's a valuable document in its current state, my family and I will cherish it forever. It'll also serve as a reminder to me. It'll remind me of some of the success stories that the board enjoyed during my 19 years. It'll also remind me of the role that I played in these success stories with pride. But most of all, it reminds me that I still have a lot of fine friends at Lahontan. Thank you.
All right. To continue on with some awards, I'd like to next present an award to Brian Gray, a Superior Accomplishment Award. Brian is an engineering geologist in the Cleanup Site Investigation and Enforcement Unit under Jeff Brooks. In February 2025, Brian responded to a California Office of Emergency Service spill report of a heating oil tank leak in El Dorado County. He observes a discharge of the heating oil from a private parcel to a stormwater conveyance system and eventually discharging to the South Upper Truckee River. Brian coordinated with El Dorado Environmental Management Department and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they developed an interim remedial effort to clean up and mitigate the leak and spill. Once it was determined that the heating oil tank was present on the property and the property owner did not have the financial means to pay for the cleanup effort, Brian helped to determine estimates for the cleanup costs and then assumed lead agency role by opening up a site cleanup program case and pursuing Tier 1 cleanup and abatement account funding. The funds were approved in May of 2025, and the cleanup work commenced in September 2025. An environmental remediation contractor completed the project in late September. The contractor discovered a 550-gallon heating oil tank and removed it from the property. Approximately 40 cubic yards of contaminated soil were excavated from the underground storage tank vicinity and stormwater conveyance system and was properly disposed of. The volume is equivalent to approximately 10 commercial trash dumpsters. The full story of Brian's project, please see his article in the October EO report on bait stamp 5-16 in your board packet. For his part, Brian's job performance and work on this issue was above and beyond normal job expectations. His exemplary work and dedication is greatly appreciated. Thank you, Brian. Brian's not present today, and I don't believe he's online, but I just wanted to congratulate Brian on that. A lot of great work went into that cleanup effort, and I'll be providing this to him when I get back to Tahoe. Moving on to staff updates. Since our last board meeting, actually right here in November, we have a few promotions and new hires, or a couple, I should say. So in terms of promotions, Alonzo Poach was promoted to supervising engineering geologist of the Victorville office. We also refer to that position as a division manager. of the Protection, Sustainability, and Restoration Division. He will continue to report Jan as the AEO, and I just wanted to congratulate Alonzo, who's here today, on his promotion. New hires, we have Shelby Witherby. She's a water resource control engineer for the Regulatory and Enforcement Unit. She reports to Trevor Miller. We also have 7 vacancies right now in various stages of recruitment. An environmental scientist position in our cannabis unit, a water resource control engineer in our cannabis unit. We also have a senior engineering geologist position. I think this was Alonzo's former position. An environmental scientist position in the planning assessment unit, an engineering geologist in the non-point source unit, an analyst in South Lake Tahoe, that's an administrative position, analyst one position in Victorville. So lots of updates probably in terms of recruitment the next time we see you. At this time, I'd like to go online on the Zoom platform and invite Shelby Barker to join me virtually here to provide an update on the third quarter violations and unauthorized discharge report, bait stamp 5-29 in your board packet.
Thank you. And first, I will apologize for not being there in person. I do live local, but recovering from ankle surgery, so mobility is not exactly my friend right now. Good afternoon, Acting Chair Pierce and fellow board members. My name is Shelby Barker, and I'm a senior engineering geologist, technical specialist, and the enforcement coordinator for the Lahontan region. On bait stamps 5-29 through 5-52 of your packet, you will find the third quarter 2025 violations and unauthorized discharges report and the associated summary article. There were 349 violations reported during third quarter 2025, which I'm sure caught your attention, as that is significantly more violations reported than other recent violation reports. That increase is due to a September 1st, 2025 deadline for dischargers previously enrolled in the prior version of the statewide construction general permit to either enroll under the latest 2022 version of that construction general permit or submit a notice of termination to terminate that permit coverage. Following that deadline, State Water Resource Control Board had issued 223 notices of violation to dischargers that had not either terminated their coverage or enrolled under that new permit. Additionally, State Board had issued 97 notices of violation to enrollees under the new 2022 Construction General Permit or the Industrial General Permit for failure to submit their 24-25 annual report. And that annual report was also due September of 2025. Beyond those, the remainder of the violations in that report, those 31 violations were issued by the Lahontan region. Of those 31 violations, 11 were unauthorized discharges at unregulated facilities. And cleanup activities at each of those incidents have been either completed or in progress to complete cleanup. And the status and associated enforcement actions for each of these violations are included in the violations report. Additionally, as noted in the summary article, we had 2 formal enforcement actions that were finalized during third quarter 2025. Both actions were settled administrative civil liabilities, or ACLs, and were detailed in an article provided in the August 2025 Executive Officer's Report, as well as summarized to the board during the Executive Officer's Report item at the November 2025 board meeting. So I'm not going to go into too much detail, but since it was mentioned there, I will just provide a really quick summary refresher for those. The first one was we did have a settlement reached with Stonebridge Properties LLC and Tigert Construction for violations of the construction general permit at their project Coldstream Plant Community up in Truckee. That total liability for the ACL was $917,199, of which $472,199 was remitted to the State Water Pollution Cleanup and Abatement account, and the remaining $445,000 will be permanently suspended upon completion of a Donner Creek Restoration Supplemental Environmental Project, or SEP. The other ACL was also a settlement. It was with Caltrans and North Tahoe Public Utility District for a July 2024 incident that had resulted in the discharge of 85,000 gallons of untreated raw sewage to Lake Tahoe. The total liability for that ACL was $850,000, of which $5,000 of that has been remitted to the State Water Pollution Cleanup and Abatement Account. And the remaining $845,000 will be permanently suspended upon completion of the Sea Climb Beach SEP. In this case, the SEP did exceed the 50% of liability, and we did receive approval by the Director of State Board's Office of Enforcement for that higher percentage, as this SEP does directly benefit a severely disadvantaged community. And that's it for my updates. I appreciate your time, and we'll answer any questions you may have.
Looks like we have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Shelby. So just circling back on the executive officer's report in general, it covers the months of October, November, and December of 2025. There's a lot of great articles in there. I'm not going to go into any detail on any specific articles, but I do want to just acknowledge each of those articles and for those months. We have a great article in there, Pacific Gas and Electric Company site tour for the University of San Diego by Amanda Lopez, an update on the regional PCE contamination efforts in South Lake Tahoe by TJ Middlemiss Clark, the 2025 Lake Tahoe Litter Summit by Mo Loden and Ed Hancock, Rebuilding Our Eastern California Cannabis Unit by Jan Zimmerman, a standing item in your packet, Leviathan Mine Superfund site in Alpine County by the whole Leviathan team, use of emergency cleanup and abatement account funds for heating oil tank release, I mentioned previously, by Brian Gray. We also have, for our November EO report, the Melva Davis Academy of Excellence field trip to our Victorville office that by Todd Batty. Shelby's third quarter violations and unauthorized discharge report. And in December, the Great Lakes 2025 PFAS Summit by Anna Garcia and Mark Allen. So just wrapping up, I do want to point out a correction to the executive officer's report on the very, very last page, 5-75. So this, as you recall, is something we added last year, which is the projected list of future regional board agenda items. And the correction is pretty simple. It's just that the first one says April 29 and 30th. And Bishop, that should be March 25th in Bishop. So just a typo there. And with that, that concludes my executive officer report. Happy to address any questions from the board.
Jeff, do you have any questions?
No.
Kimberly?
No.
Rick? No. I have none either. Thanks so much. That was excellent.
Yep.
So we're going to move on to item 6. And this is the board chair and vice chair election. And
if I could, Mr. Acting Chair,
yes.
I would like to move a slate. I would like to recommend Jeff as the chair and you as the vice chair.
So do we have a second for that?
I'll second that.
So it's been moved and second that Jeff will serve as chair and I will be vice chair. We have a vote. Jeff?
Do I have to vote on this?
Yes. Twice.
I feel a little boxed in here. Hi.
Sure.
Aye.
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 Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
You will be an excellent addition. Thank you. And we're not going to have item 7 is closed session. We're not going to have that. So with that, I'm going to close the meeting out, and I want to thank everyone for your participation today, and the regular meeting of the board is adjourned. Thank you.